You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
While you were skipping stones, building forts, and flying kites, I was missing school and all my Saturday nights. Other kids were climbing trees and rolling down hills. I was singing songs to pay my family's bills. Little me, growing up Broadway. Little me.
Hello, I'm Mark Tuminelli, and welcome back to the Little Me Podcast. Today, I have a brother and sister team who have both appeared on Broadway. She was part of the original cast of Matilda on Broadway, and he starred on Broadway in the original cast of Fun Home, and most recently in the Broadway production of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, and on Netflix's Sack Lunch Bunch and The Punisher. That's hard to say. Please welcome Madeline Jazz Morrow and Zell Steele Morrow. Hi, friends.
Hi.
Oh my God, I love seeing you. It is so cute. You both are little dreams. Welcome to the Little Me Podcast. We're going to tell your Broadway story. So before we get into, before we get into any of that, you guys have the most interesting middle names that I'm obsessed with. We have Madeline Jazz and Zell Steele. So talk to me about where those names came from. Are they family names? Your mom just so creative. Give me the 411.
My mom, I have my mom to thank for it. She is so creative. She just wanted something, I guess, jazzy. And so she said Madeline Jazz, but it's spelled with one Z. So it's a little unique. And I mean, she was a dancer growing up, so I'm sure. But Zell's, I think, is a little bit more interesting.
I really don't know.
Zell, what's your deal?
My great-great-grandmother's name was Zell Steele. And so that's how I got my name. So it's Zell Steele Morrow is my name.
And family name.
Yeah.
Well, those are like star names. So we knew that you were destined for greatness from the beginning, I'm assuming. Talk to me about how it started. Madeline, do you want to kick us off? Obviously, how much older are you than Zell?
6.5 years.
Okay. My sister and I are 7 years. Are we 6 years? We're 6 years. So crazy. Same thing, but neither one of us is a star. Go ahead. So you are 6 years older. Tell me how it like began for you. Were you taking dance? Give me the story.
Well, as I said, my mom grew up a dancer, and then eventually she owned her own dance studio. And so I grew up in her dance studio. I was practically born there. And I was really lucky to just be around music and dance and that kind of art, just growing up and becoming self-aware. And then, as I got older, obviously I loved dance and, I wanted a more, I don't know, intense type of training. So my mom took me to like a competitive studio and I danced just to like have more opportunity to be on stage. And then I was 3 years old and I auditioned for my first community theater production. And I had grown up like going to a friend of ours. She did a lot of community theater. And so I was probably 8 months old, 9 months old, sitting in the audience. I never cried. I never screamed. I would just like look up at all of the live theater. So I was definitely prepared. But yeah, I was 3 years old. And that's like when my community theater career kicked off. And I did my first show. And I did probably 2 shows a year just in our little town in California, just absorbing all of the knowledge I could. And then, my mom got a phone call from a friend of ours and was like, hey, who lived in New York, and was like, hey, there's an open call for this Broadway show called Billy Elliot. And I think that, you know, Madeline should come. And I was, I think, 10. And my mom laughed really hard and was like, okay. So, I mean, we just decided to make like a mom and daughter kind of trip about it. And we came and we did all the sightseeing and it was a cute little trip. And I went to my audition and then I left and I was like, that was fun. Never gonna happen again. And then like a few weeks later, I got a call back and then another call back and then another call back. I got 4 callbacks for that show. And each time, because we couldn't afford a hotel, we could barely afford the plane ticket. So we would go, I would fly on the red eye, get there at 5 a.m, go to Starbucks, go to the audition, and then fly back the same night and then go to school day. I know. Cause we couldn't afford it. We were trying so hard. And she was just so supportive of it. She like really
wanted it. But you didn't get it.
I didn't get Billy Elliot.
That's the sad part, but it's gonna get to Broadway real soon.
It's gonna get better, you guys.
It's gonna get better. But okay, so that's a wild sacrifice, like, you know, figuring out how to make it happen. Zell, when you were little and you were watching your sister sort of go to New York for these callbacks, is that where it started for you? Like, ooh, what is this?
I feel like it started a little earlier when I saw her performing. Mm-hmm. And I saw her performing in like the regional theater productions that we had in our like hometown. And so yeah. When I saw her up there on that stage, I just completely fell in love with what she was doing. And I always loved my sister and I always want to be able to follow in her footsteps. So I wanted to be just like her. And now we are.
Oh my God. You too. I am obsessed. You're like dream children. Now, what was that first show, Zell, you saw Madeline do that was like, oh my God, this show.
The first show.
Oh. You remember
I don't even know.
That-
his first show, he did a show when he was one with me.
Yeah.
And he was the elephant bird in Seussical. And he cracked out of the little egg and came out and like did
a
little
down
dance
the slide. And I was like, hey,
here all right. I am. And a star was born. Okay. this is the craziest Broadway story. All right. So you don't get Billy Elliot. We're going back to this story.
Yeah.
And that ship sailed. How did Matilda come up?
It's the exact same thing. My mom had just see, now at this point, my mom had been researching online to try and really make this happen because this had been my dream and we got really close. I got super close. And so she found Matilda. We did the exact same routine for Matilda and I got 5 callbacks. And this time I just went to the open call with over 600 girls. And this time I just got lucky and I booked it.
Oh my God. So tell me where you were when you found out that you booked this new Broadway musical that's coming in from London, has like the most incredible team, and you get your call. Where
incredible.
Are you? Who told you? Tell me the story.
I had just gone out. I remember it was a Thursday. It was November 1st of 2012. Okay. And I was going to dance class. I was going to dance and backtrack a bit. My mom had always said, because my brother obviously was jealous. He didn't get to go to New York any of those times. It was just me and my mom. And so,
okay, you live here now. You're fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, he's fine. But he always wanted to. And my mom said, well, we can't go unless your sister books a Broadway show. Like, that's it. And so I was going into dance and Zell had dropped me off. And then he ran up to me before I walked in the door. And he said, Madeline, I have to tell you something. And I was like, what? I have to go to class. And he was like, I finally get to go to New York. And immediately it clicked in my brain because my mom had been saying for so long, you can only go if your sister books a Broadway show. And I was like, oh my God, am I on Broadway? And they were like, yeah. And I just started crying. And then I went to dance.
Oh my God. That is the greatest story. Zell, you're so nice the way you told your sister. Were you so excited for her?
I really was. And I found out. And I remember this. When Madeline was at school, I was, like, taken home. And I remember it so vividly. I was on the beanbag in the living room. And I was told right there. They were like, okay, so your sister booked the show. And I was like, what? And so I was so excited. And they were like, we have to find a good way to tell her. So we think that you're going to say that. And so it was just so much fun. And I was so proud of her. And I was so happy for her. And I was also very happy for myself because, you know, finally got to go to New York.
Okay. So how much longer was it before you got to, did you both go? What was the decision? Like, we're all packing up. We're all going to New York. Talk to me about how that all played out.
We had 5 weeks. 5 weeks to pack up our life and move here. I obviously was very young, so I wasn't really a part of, like, the stressful conversations, but I can't even imagine what those were like for my parents. But obviously they were just the most supportive and they were like, well, we're doing this. We have to. And yeah, so I packed up in 5 weeks and we came with like 3 suitcases and we moved into like a studio apartment. We still live in a studio apartment and here we are.
Oh my God. All right. So tell me about those first few days. How old are you now? When you book Matilda?
I was 12.
Okay. So you're 12. So Zell, what are you, like 6, 7?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So you moved to New York. Tell me about those first few days living here.
Oh my gosh, do I even remember? We moved here. It was December. It was winter. It was cold. But it was also like the Christmas in New York type vibe,
which we've never seen snow.
Yeah, we've never seen snow. It was super magical.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and I went straight into rehearsals as well. So on my day off, which was Sunday at the time, like we would spend time going to the park. We would go to Times Square because we were still slightly touristy. I just remember like working hard and just, but also not believing what I was like living. Like this has been what I wanted forever.
What was that rehearsal process like for Matilda?
Oh my God. It was brilliant because, and I feel so lucky that I originated because we had the entire London team with us, every step of the way. So we had like all of the choreographers, the entire creative team. And, it was hard. I mean, we had, 9 to 12 hour days. Some of those would be tutoring hours for school because obviously there were a lot of kids in that show. Mm-hmm. So they had to tutor us, but each day would be different. It would be a vocal day or we would have dance all day. And you don't start from the beginning when you're rehearsing a show, you kind of jump around a bit. But yeah, I remember just like long days, but everything was super fun and I was always active and always wanting to learn. And the adults in the cast didn't join us for, I think 3 weeks. So we were only with, children and our guardians and our tutors and the team. And then when the adults came, it was like a whole new world. And it was even better because I had just so, it was like the best kind of overwhelm, I think.
Yeah. And so you played both Alice and Hortensia. How did that work out scheduling wise? How did they work that out?
Yeah, I was an alternate. So I covered two roles and I was guaranteed to go on for each role once a week. And then if something were to happen then to one of those girls who played the role regularly, then I would jump in their slot, which actually has happened before. So they just would give me two shows a week. And that is just crazy because usually swings or alternates or understudies, they never go on unless somebody is sick. But they mm-hmm. really wanted the kids to be super inclusive and active and just really a part of it. So they guaranteed me shows. So I was always looking forward to that.
Tell me about doing the show with so many kids. What was that experience like to be in a show with like 12 other people around your age?
Yeah. Our ages ranged from 8 to 13, and which is crazy age. and some of them had done Broadway before. Most have not. So it was really interesting to see that as well. I was like, oh my God, some of these kids have already been on Broadway. Like that was just crazy to me. But we are truly family. I know everybody says it and everybody will continue to say it, but we are. I still talk to over half of them to this day. We were just family and we made up like little handshakes. We had inside jokes. We made videos. Tutoring was probably the craziest time just because we didn't have to be as focused as we were in like dance rehearsal. We didn't have British people screaming in our faces. So we kind of just like took that time to play around and to just get to know each other. And honestly, it was great. It was just a lot of fun. It didn't feel like work at all.
Zell, what was your experience watching your sister sort of have this process of like going to rehearsals for a Broadway show? What were you thinking? Like, I got to do this next.
Well, obviously I loved what she was doing. I was so excited to see that she was getting to live her dream. And it was also pretty cool because every single time after she had a rehearsal or after tutoring or a lunch break or dinner break, I would actually get to like see the kids and talk to them as well. Because they would all hang out together for like a break or something. Mm-hmm. And I was actually really happy to kind of be included in that.
You were like the unofficial cast member.
Yeah. He was such a mascot. It was very cute.
Do you remember the first time you saw her go on in the show?
Yeah, I did. It was crazy. It was the first time out of 56 times I ever saw the entire show. So yeah.
I'm sure that's such a magical experience to see your sister, who you love, that you share this connection with on Broadway, doing this like artistically exciting musical, right?
Yeah, it was crazy to be able to see that on stage and to see my sister being like, oh my God, I know that person doing that, performing in front of thousands of people. Like, I just was so proud of her and I was so happy for her.
Madeline, do you remember that first performance? Were you scared? Tell me about it.
Oh, yeah. I was scared. I was probably frantically doing all of my handshakes. We had like a table for mirror gloves under the table. I do remember I was under the table and I was breathing and I was like doing all my handshakes and everything was super frantic, but in the best way. And, but what I really remember, and I remember this for a lot of specific shows, was like being on the swings. I told myself, because that had become my favorite part of the show, and when I grew up, where I get to swing out in the audience, I had told myself to kind of like each time I was on to take little mental pictures or to just like really try and soak it up. And so that is one of the nights where I really remember being on that swing and just smiling. And I was thinking about like my family in the audience too. I was like, they're probably in a puddle of tears right now.
Well, also because it sounds like everyone sacrificed a lot to make this thing happen for you. And so when you're a little kid, I don't know, you know, how much you know that or how much you think about that. Were you aware of it? Did you feel like my family's really putting me in front of the rest of the needs of the family?
Yeah, on some level, I really did recognize that. And I was super grateful for it. And like, I still will probably never be able to repay my mom for everything that she did. But yeah, I think about it. I think I was aware. But obviously, each, you know, coming year and as I grow and get older and spend more time in the industry, like I really see it because it's hard.
It's so hard. It's so hard for every family, but moving across the country and setting up a life and living in a studio apartment is like a lot to do for a family, but kind of incredible to have this story that most kids don't have, to be on Broadway as one sibling, let alone both of you. It's so wild.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFF's creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFF's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
So we're going to keep talking. Did you get to perform at the Tonys? Did they have all the kids do that?
Yes, every single person in the company.
Oh, talk to me about the Tony night.
Oh my God, Tonys. That is by far one of the highlights, maybe the highlight of my time in Matilda. But it was so quick. They threw us on a bus and we couldn't see out the windows because they were like black windows. And then they, first we had to like rehearse obviously on the stage. And I remember them telling us, because we stand on desks, and they were like, don't look up past the third balcony or else you might get dizzy, because that place is huge.
At Radio City, right? Yeah.
Yeah, Radio City is just colossal. And so, and then finally we get to performance night, we're on the bus, and then they say, okay, get off the bus, and we're in this hallway with Neil Patrick Harris. And we're just like chilling with Neil, and we're in this stairwell hallway type place. And then Neil goes out, and they do the opening number. We're still in the hallway. And then we get to the side of the stage, and Neil's there, and I will never forget it. He turned around, and he was like, okay, guys. And he looks at all of us, and he goes, don't suck. And then he walks out on stage. And I was like, oh God, I can't suck. Neil Patrick Harris is going to kill me. And so we go on stage, we do the performance. It is exhilarating. I see people in the front row. Like, I remember seeing like Jane Krakowski in the front row. I think Megan Hilty was there too. And then we finish our performance. We walk right off stage. We keep walking onto the bus and they drive us away and we go to a party. That was it.
Now, Zell, were you watching from home? Were you at that party? Where were you that Tony night?
I was at the Tonys.
You were sitting pretty in the 27th row.
It was the 32nd row.
27th.
27th?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was the 27th. And it was so funny because we just kept walking and walking and walking and walking. And, like, we just weren't stopping. We kept getting closer to the stage. And I was like, how close are we? And it was so funny. And basically, we saw her perform. And then we left right after. And we, like, followed the bus. And we were going to the party. And then we all celebrated afterwards. And
now, Matilda did not win. Which is the most biggest crime ever. Clay Thompson was on the podcast a couple of weeks ago and, you know, kind of, it just felt like it was going to be Matilda's night and then it wasn't. Was there a shift at the party? Was it like, oh God, no.
I mean, slightly, especially among the kids. Cause we were like, we did all this work. What is up with that? So I think we were a little bit bummed, but then I remember Gabriel Ebert and Rob Howell came in with their Tonys to the party like a little bit later. And then the mood shifted back up because we were just so excited to see them. And a lot of us, I don't think had ever like been around a Tony Award or held a Tony Award before. So we were just all over it.
Oh God, that's so awesome. So Zell, were you auditioning this whole time for things while she was doing Matilda?
I was auditioning for Matilda. Okay. Yeah, I auditioned a lot of times for Matilda. And
I did other stuff, though.
I did do other stuff as well, like supporting my sister, watching the show over 50 times. But yeah, it was really cool because when you're in New York, it's like, it feels like the possibilities are endless. Like, there's so much that you can do. And I always wanted to perform because I saw her back in California doing it. And so to be here in New York, everyone always says that this is like the place where you can just perform and you can audition for so many things. And so I got that opportunity and that just made me really happy. So yeah.
So when did Fun Home come up for you?
Fun Home came up after Madeline's run ended in Matilda. We went back.
We had to go back to California though afterwards. Yeah. We couldn't afford to stay here.
So you wrapped the show. Did you decide that you needed to like, we're done, we've been doing this for a year? Or how did you decide to leave the show?
No, they pried it out of my hands. No, I got a little bit too tall and I had to leave, which happens to children. It was very sad. What was even worse about it was because I couldn't even stay here. I had to, not only was I not in the show anymore, but I wasn't even going to be able to be here anymore. Just because we could not afford to stay here. And so and my mom dragged me on a plane and we went back for almost a year. And that was just so hard.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. That is difficult.
It was such a void, but then the roles reversed because last time, I booked the Broadway show so Zell can move here. And now this time, Zell's going to book the show so I can move back. Mm-hmm.
So did you book Fun Home while you were living in California?
Yeah, I did a self-tape, actually, for Fun Home. And I did not think that I would get that off of a self-tape. And they saw it, and they called me to come to New York for a callback with the entire creative team. Everyone was there. And it was crazy. So we went there and I did the callback. I thought it went really well. And I was just so excited because I saw like other people there that I really thought were going to get it over me because I didn't think that I was going to be that good. I didn't think that I was going to get that. And so we left that night and the next day they contacted my mom saying, hey, we would love to have Zell work with us. And so That's how I got the role. But I didn't find out that day when mom found out. What she did was she did something very creative, which like we do every single time one of us gets something now, which is basically we tell each other in a really creative or like secretive way. So for Fun Home, I was obsessed with fortune cookies. So she got me a bunch of fortune cookies, and inside the fortune, it said, "This fortune is a guarantee. Come to the Fun Home in New York City." And I screamed and it was crazy. And I could not stop screaming. And I like ran outside and I said, "Hey world, I'm going to be on Broadway." And it was so funny.
Madeline, how long did you know that he had booked it before you guys did the fortune cookie? Do you have to keep that secret for like 3 days? Yeah. Oh my God. That must have been so hard.
Yeah. My mom and I came up with the idea driving in the car one day. We were like, let's tell him with a fortune. He's obsessed with fortune cookies. Let's do it.
Oh my God. So you come back to New York for my favorite musical of all time, Zell, his Fun Home. So bravo. So you get to be in the original Broadway cast of this historic musical that does win the Tony, which we'll get to in a minute. But sorry, he has one on you. His show won.
I know.
You could just remind each other of that when you're fighting about other things.
Okay. We do.
All right, great. So Zell, talk to me about now you're getting to come back to New York. We're moving back. We're doing this Broadway show. Tell me about what the first few days of rehearsal was like.
Okay, so I remember very vividly that the day we got there was the first day of rehearsal. And the first day of rehearsal, the first day that we got there was my birthday. And so it was
crazy. How old are you?
I just turned 8.
Yeah.
And so we got to the first ever day of rehearsal for the lab of Fun Home. Not even like for the Broadway production, for the lab. And so it was a 2-week process. And they found out that it was my birthday and they all sang happy birthday to me and they got me a cupcake, which I was very happy about. And I will never forget what Michael Cerveris did. Michael Cerveris did not know it was my birthday. So what he did was he gave me a ketchup packet and I still have it to this day. He was just like, happy birthday, and gave me a ketchup packet. And I still have it. I have it like in a memory box and it's so funny.
That is very generous of him.
Yeah.
I hope he made that up for you at your next birthday. Okay. So Fun Home on Broadway, what, as an 8-year-old, what are they telling you? Obviously it's kind of an adult subject matter and there's a lot going on. What do you know as an 8-year-old about what's going on in the play? Are they taking a lot of time to explain things to you? Tell me what's happening with Sam Gold, the brilliant director of Fun Home.
Yeah, they really explained it to me. They basically explained everything about the show and what it was about. And they explained how it was like a very serious topic. And I'll like never forget when they were doing that because it really changed my life. Because before that, I wasn't like oblivious, but I didn't know much about that topic. And so I felt like that it was a great opportunity for me to learn about it, which was very helpful. And it was very great to be able to know all about this. And I understood back then that it was a really, really serious subject matter. And I feel like I really grasped and I really comprehended it well. And I felt like I was very professional about it. And I'm sorry.
Like, I have to say, I'm amazing. No, but you know, it's for so many of the audience members, I think that they had a huge experience in that show, whether they have issues with their own parents or their own sexuality. There's just like so much that comes up when you see a show like that, that is very, it's very focused on so many important issues of young people becoming adults and figuring out who they are. And so to be a young person in that show, I'm sure the experience of learning about, you know, different people and what they struggle with is like an amazing life lesson. And so it's really cool that you got to be part of such a beautiful show. Talk to me about performing in The Round, because that must be a really bizarre experience for a young person to be doing a show on Broadway, 365 degrees around. Talk to me about working that way.
Okay, so it's hard to just perform in a regular proscenium with just the audience one way, but I feel that it's even harder to perform in the round because there's people seeing you from every angle. And so the way that the genius, Danny Mefford, choreographed so many things in that show to like include all of the audience, like we'd have to turn around at some point so the people facing my back can look at the front now so we can perform to them. And then it was just really cool how the entire creative team made that all work.
What kind of things in the, are you aware, are you more aware, the audience is so close at Fun Home. Were you aware of like people on their phones or people sleeping, or not that people are bored at that show because it was incredible, but you know, still every once in a while, some guy gets dragged to Fun Home. He's like, what is this? How aware are you of the audience in that circumstance of being in the round?
In a way it is distracting, but I have definitely learned to just kind of live in the actual scene and live as that character and kind of just block everything else out.
Amazing.
Which is kind and of
that's like you know, the lessons you learn getting to be a Broadway kid is more than you can learn in college. It's more doing so many performances of a show and staying in it and being a little kid and having your mind wander, but you can't because you have to stay in the scene. How long, you did the entire run on Broadway, yeah?
Yeah, 18 months.
That's 583 performances. I'm sure you took a couple of vacations in there, but that, no.
Okay, so funny story.
Tell me.
Basically, throughout the entire run, I only missed one day because I had other priorities for like another thing that I had to work on, which is actually where I met my bestest friend ever to this day. So yeah. It was really cool because everyone else like around me in the show was like taking these sick days, like taking vacation days. And I was just here. I'm like, hey, I'm still here. I'm like just sticking around. And so I was determined to never take a show off. I don't know what it was about me, but I was like, I don't want to take a show off. I want to perform as much as I can. So what I did was I did 606 out of the 608 performances. So,
oh my God. So it's 608 with the previews and 583 regular performances. That is wild. Okay. Cause most adults can't say that they've done 600 performances of anything. So it's incredible. What did you ever have like a harder time? Like, oh God, I don't want to do it today.
I really never felt that way. Actually, going to the theater was such a fun thing for me to do, because it was my dream. And so it was, I was living my dream every day, which was so fun. And I always dreaded Mondays because, you know, they were the
day off
days.
And you got to do, you guys got to do Come to the Fun Home on The View, right? Am I making that up?
Yeah, we did. And it was actually pretty crazy because we had to re-choreograph the entire dance because it was choreographed for the round.
Yeah.
But in this case, we had to choreograph it as in we were like in a proscenium. And so the camera was literally like a foot away from my face at times. And it was actually crazy because that was actually, I think that was my first time working with like a camera crew and like camera equipment and all that, like working on TV. So it was very exhilarating for me, but in the end, I was just so happy that I got to do it.
That's so cool. So you got to work with some really incredible theater actors on that show. Obviously, Beth Malone and Michael Servais and Judy Kuhn and Rebecca Luker when she came in to replace. What did you learn from working with these incredible, like, historic theater artists?
I learned so much from them. I learned all about, I learned all about the topic of the show. I learned just all about being a performer, like especially a Broadway performer, because they've all been on Broadway. They're like all super professional.
Yes.
They're all pros. And so being able to learn from them, I just felt so lucky, because even like Michael Servais, almost every single day, he would just give me a random fact about anything in the world. And it was so funny. And it was just great to be able to just learn that one little thing every day. And it was great to be able to see how these like great people were performing and how they were working backstage and how they were acting. And so I was kind of learning from them.
Hold yourself up. That's amazing. Madeline, what was your experience watching Fun Home? Now, Zell saw your show how many times? 60 times?
Yeah, around that.
How many times did you see his show?
I believe around the same. It was in the 60s.
What was your experience watching your brother on Broadway?
Oh, I was so proud of him. And if we're being honest, come to the Fun Home, like the choreography is just stuff he would do around the house. And so just to be able to watch, I loved watching other people watch him too. Like when I'd see the show, after I'd seen it about 30 times, I would kind of glance over just to people in the audience and to kind of just watch how they watched the show. But yeah, I loved that he got to make hundreds of people laugh all the time.
You shaking your booty and being like, your uncle died on the top of that. I'll never forget. It was like the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life. Like you're so fabulous in that show. Now y'all, you get to the Tonys, but your show wins. Tell me about your Tony night dream. How did that go?
So I wasn't actually there for the Tony Awards. Okay. I wasn't like at the place, but we were there at the party. So I think I was like one of the only few people that were there because almost everyone went to the actual Tony show. Mm-hmm. And so I waited for everyone to come back. And when they all came back, they like started announcing all the awards. But I got to see Sydney and Michael on the stage performing Ring of Keys. And I was just so excited to say like, oh my God, I know them. I work with them. And they're doing this on the Tony Awards. And it was so fun to witness that. And then when they all came back, we all were like, oh my God, you guys were amazing. And so we all listened to all the Tony nominations, the Tony Awards. And all in all, we got six Tony Awards, five Tony Awards, including Best Musical. And when they announced Best Musical, my heart literally dropped. I was so scared. I was like, oh my God, oh my God. I can't wait for this.
I have a job for a long time now.
I was so excited.
When Fun Home closed, and I was at the closing, which was a really sweet performance. But when that closed, are we staying now? Or are we going back again? Tell me what happened then.
Oh, we stayed. We were determined this time. Yeah. It closed when I just entered fifth grade. Like literally it closed 5 days 5 days after I entered fifth grade. And it was my first time at a New York public school. And so we had to stay.
And I was at a performing arts school at the time as well. And so it was too good not to stay. We were determined to make it work.
So Madeline, talk to me about looking at schools, what's happening. You're kind of in the dead zone at this point for like booking Broadway when you're a teenage girl. And so what kind of stuff were you doing? Were you staying focused on schoolwork? Were you looking at colleges? Tell me about what was happening for you, for all of our young people who have success as a kid on Broadway. And then it's a little tricky for a few years. Tell me what you were doing.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie to you. It's hard. I definitely, and I still feel it. Sometimes it pops up like this void of just not having it. And especially if you work younger, because you get a little taste of it. And so it just hooks you and then you don't get to do it. And it's rough, but, the best I could do was to just train and do my homework and stay in it mentally. So, it had always been my priority. Honestly, my mindset was I almost put it before school a lot of the times. Like I would make sure I was in dance class and I was at my voice lessons and I was reading plays and doing scenes and I consider myself a little bit extra lucky just because I went to a performing arts high school. And so I was completely immersed in it, like 24/7. And so it made it a lot easier for me during that time to kind of step away from it. Not that it was easy, but it's still hard, but it made it a little bit easier that I could still, kind of be in it in different ways.
So Zell, you were back on Broadway in Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. Talk to me about how that job came up for you.
So the first ever time that I auditioned for Harry Potter, I was too small. I was very sad about that.
Madeline, were you working at the theater and helping Zell prep for his Harry Potter auditions?
Absolutely. 100%. Tell me about
coaching your brother to get him ready for his next Broadway show. You know, like, we gotta get you to book this. I know what to do.
Yeah, I heard it every night. I can still do the show, like, I read it like the back of my hand. I know that show. So when the time came and he got to audition because a kid was leaving early, I came home and I was like, all right, let's coach, let's do this. And I helped him, and I helped with his accent. I helped with the lines, and he went in, and you could tell the story when you went in.
Yeah. I went in and I did the first line. And as soon as I did the first line and it sounded exactly like the person that was doing the role already, I saw their heads turn to each other and their jaws like dropped. And it was honestly so funny to see that. And it like, it wasn't that I like caught them off guard, but it was honestly, they weren't expecting that. And it was honestly really funny.
How magical is being part of that show? I'm sure it's just like a dream to be in a huge, like multi-million dollar play on Broadway.
Well, I was obsessed with Harry Potter since I was in Fun Home. And when I heard about the whole play coming, I was so excited. And when I got in it, it was like, oh my God, am I actually going to be Harry Potter on Broadway? And I still could not believe it, even like when I was doing rehearsals. And it was definitely a dream come true. And I was so excited to get to learn from all these people. And they were like, and it was like the original like cast. It was the original Broadway cast. And like some of them, like most of them were from London, the entire cast and like the crew and everything. So it was fun to be able to learn from them. I felt so lucky to be able to learn from them. And it was just, I don't know. I was just so starstruck by everything that was happening around me. And I was like, it was so, I just loved it.
Well, Madeline, you are an excellent theater coach. So just know she's available for coaching, especially if you want to be in Harry Potter. It's so cool. Were you guys just so blown away by that show the first time you saw it? Madeline, what was your experience seeing Zell in it after working there, selling merch, and now your brother's in the show?
Oh, it was crazy. I couldn't believe it. And to be, I mean, I know we weren't in the show together, which is our like life goal, to be in the show together.
All right, I'm sending it out to the universe. When Broadway's back, you guys can just go back to it together.
We'll do something together. I don't care what it is. But no, just to kind of be in the same space as him when he worked, it was wild to me. And I got to see the show, like sitting in the seats and watch him. And obviously that show is just so magical. And so you already feel just like such a sense of like wonder when you're watching it. So it was just even more crazy just to see him up there. And it was so cute. He had like his little black hair and his glasses and he looked just like him. And it was so cute. But then I also like, I got to watch him every single night because I worked there and we have monitors backstage. And so I got to just watch him play and to work all the time. And I love that. I mean, I know I saw Fun Home 60 times, but it was like I was there with Harry Potter.
Yeah,
it was
really great. I love it. Well, I hope you guys get to do that show or some show together soon. So Zell, you've become a little bit of a TV star in recent years. So you're doing a show, you have a recurring role on a show called The Punisher on Netflix. And you're part of the Sack Lunch Bunch, John Mulaney's Netflix special, which is going to be a Comedy Central series, which I can say so you don't have to. But that Sack Lunch Bunch is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. It is so wild. Tell me about working with John Mulaney.
So John Mulaney is very funny.
Definitely.
He is one of the funniest people I've ever met on this entire planet. And it was so great to be able to learn from him. Like when I was auditioning for it, I would like watch his specials that he already had. And so I like memorized all of it. And it was really cool to see that person that I love so much, like
in the TV screen, like in real life, and being able to work with them. He was so nice. He was so nice to all the kids, and he was so inclusive. And he always like asked us for ideas. He was like, do you want to do this? Like, what do you have in mind? Do you want to like say this? Or it was really cool. He always wanted our opinions, which was just so nice of him, because we're children. He didn't need to do that, but he did, which was really cool of him.
Tell me about The Punisher. What is it? I don't know what it is. I've done no research because I'm bad at my job. So tell me about what that is.
So basically,
Mark, you're a star.
Yes,
I know, thanks.
The show is basically about how there is this guy. I know, shocker, this guy. And so the villain kills his entire family. And
dun, dun,
he
dun.
Sets out. Yeah, I know. Dun, dun, dun. So he sets out for revenge. And I am one of the lead's sons. And I was in three episodes in season two, which
Ooh.
Was, it was very cool.
Wasn't it season three?
Season three.
See, thank God your agent and manager and acting coach is sitting right next to you.
Oh my God.
I'm sure it's so fun to watch him do all of these wild things, because he's just your brother that you live with. And then he's like on this weird show and doing this other thing. And it must be like so fun to watch for you.
It is so fun, especially because I mean, you just kind of said it, but I am kind of involved in like the audition process. I do help coach him, and we help each other. We read our each other's sides and stuff all the time. So especially when he books something and I had like read for him or something, it's really fun to watch. And he's very talented. I'm always so proud of him.
Aw, you're talented.
Now,
yeah.
Madeline, you have a degree in arts management. Tell me about going to college and what that experience was like for you as a kid who, you know, knows a lot about what's going on Broadway, as a kid who performed on Broadway. How did that influence your college decisions?
In summary, college for me was like writing 4 papers a week and stress eating whole boxes of cereal.
Great.
Like that was college.
What kind of cereal?
All kinds, anything that was available that I could eat in one night.
Mostly Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Oh, yes, Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
No, but yeah, so it was such a hard decision. I had never pictured myself going to college. Everyone around me was going to college. I didn't want to go. I just wanted to like work and be a performer. But after a lot of conversations and thinking, I realized that I don't have to go for musical theater. And I made that decision strategically because I was getting a lot of training outside of school. I had like voice lessons and dance and acting outside of this. And I figured that if I'm going to pay all of this money, I want to learn something kind of new or that would help me in a different way in the industry. And also I think college, the most important thing for me was like growing as a human, which in turn helps me grow as an artist.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, so if I can experience life in a different way, that'll help me with my acting or my vocals. And so that's what I did. And I went for arts management, which is basically like the business side of the arts. So I got to take entertainment law for like contracts and negotiations.
Oh,
yeah,
so you
and
can
I got
also
to do,
be Zell's lawyer. And there's so
yes,
much.
Yeah.
I can be his
so many professions.
Agent, manager, lawyer, casting director.
I need you to be my lawyer. I am so wildly impressed with both of you and your connection with each other and how much you support each other. It is like truly a dream to get to hear your story and know that, you know, you can be in this crazy world and still turn out pretty normal and fun and sweet and kind. And Madeline, we work together a bunch, and I always love having you at Broadway Workshop. And Zell, we work together a bunch, so it's just brilliant to talk to you guys. We have to like kind of wrap up and hit. I could talk to you all day. Tell me about what you're obsessed with. I'm sorry, we got to wrap it up. Tell me what you're obsessed with this week, or what's your current obsession? Madeline, you go first.
Well, it's the same. We're obsessed
okay.
with Big Brother.
Big Brother.
All right.
Yes.
Yeah, Big Brother.
Yeah, the reality show Big Brother. Zell got me into it. We're hooked. And we also love Schitt's Creek right now. It's our favorite show.
Love Schitt's Creek. Big Brother is amazing because you can watch online like all of that footage of them just like scratching their heads in the middle of the night. And people are like, have theories. It's so wild.
It's so creepy.
It's so funny. We like bought a subscription for it.
Love like a real Big Brother fan. My obsession this week, for those of you at home, is a podcast called Radio Rental, which is a really kind of spooky, fun podcast where they tell three or four sort of odd stories about things that have happened to people, whether it's like weird time travel things or weird encounters with strangers. It's really, really interesting. So if you love a good unsolved mystery, check out Radio Rental Podcast. All right, we have to do Broadway Workshop Quickfire questions. Are you guys ready? Here we go. Madeline, favorite Broadway show of all time? Seen it, been it. Great. Zell, favorite holiday?
Christmas.
Madeline, first Broadway show you saw?
Billy Elliot.
Zell, first Broadway show you saw?
Matilda.
Oh my God, that's so cool. Madeline, if you had to be quarantined with one cast member from Matilda, who would you pick?
It would have, okay, Erica Simone Barnett.
Okay. Zell, have you ever taken a ballet class?
Yes, I have. I've taken many.
Very impressed. Madeline, favorite song to sing right now?
Right now, anything from the Amelie soundtrack.
Have you listened to the Amelie UK recording, not Broadway UK?
No, I have not. Should I?
Okay. As second we're done here, I'm giving you the tag. You must listen to it. It is spectacular. It's on Spotify. It's the UK tour. It is so good. Talk about it later. All right. What am I up to? Zell, what would your superhero power be?
I would have to say teleportation.
Madeline, favorite performance you've ever seen your brother do?
Don't do that. Fun Home, just because it was the first time.
Zell, one show you're bummed you didn't get cast in.
Oh. That's way, why? I'd probably have to say, I'd probably have to say the Broadway cast of Matilda.
All right, that'll do. Madeline, same question.
I would probably say Harry Potter or Dear Evan Hansen, but I mean, the door is not closed yet.
No, the door is very open. I'm putting it out there. I'm sending it out in the world. Zell, can you name a real housewife of any city?
Oh. What? There's got to be like a Sharon in there. There's like a Sharon from Orange County.
There's probably a Shannon from Orange County. I'm giving you the credit.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed. Madeline, what role should Patti LuPone play in the Matilda revival?
Why is that a question?
We ask that question every... I ask the Patti LuPone question every
episode. No, I just meant it's obvious. Yes. Okay. Mrs. Wormwood.
All right. I think she should be the Trunchbull. Zell, name one celebrity you would like to work with.
Ethan Slater.
Great. Oh my God. He is the nicest dude. He teaches with us all the time. I'm obsessed with him. Okay. Madeline, I wish I could see Zell play what role?
Scorpius in Harry Potter.
Great. Zell, I wish I could see Madeline play
Polly Chapman in Harry Potter.
And
also Zoe and Dear Evan Hansen.
Yes, I'm with you on those things. Where am I? Madeline, what movie do you wish is a musical?
The Truman Show. It's my favorite movie.
Zell, least favorite costume you've ever had to wear?
Oh. My least favorite costume... The only reason why it was like kind of difficult for me to wear is because I was wearing 5 layers in my last scene in Harry Potter. Last scene in Harry Potter, I wore 2 flannels, a big jacket, a long sleeve t-shirt, and an undershirt. And so there was a lot to wear. And so I was always very hot every single time.
Madeline, Gretchen, Regina, or Karen?
Karen.
Zell, favorite in-between show meal?
In between chicken strips and fries.
Is it from Schnippers?
Yes.
Yes, I knew it. Madeline, best gift you received during Matilda?
Oh my God. Our choreographer, Kate, made us all Build-A-Bears dressed up like our characters.
Oh my God, that's so cool. Zell, best gift from Fun Home?
The best gift from Fun Home? Well, definitely the ketchup packet from Michael Cerberus.
I think you should take that. But yes, and also.
But also, I don't know if this counts as a gift or not, but when Roberta Calindres, she cut off her hair and I got her ponytail, basically.
And where is that now?
I don't know. Probably like in my memory box somewhere.
Yeah, memory box full of ketchup and loose hair. When it was red. Okay, last question. Madeline, one thing you wish people knew about you?
I have a really small tattoo and it means a lot to me.
What is it? Can you tell us what it is?
Yeah, sure. It's a little yellow sun. It's on my finger. And I was taking a Buddhism course in college and I had read a sutra by Thich Nhat Hanh called The Sun is My Heart. And it really resonated with me. And so I got that tattoo that year.
I love that. Zell, you're not going to have as good of a story, but what's one thing you wish people knew about you?
Oh, okay. I'd probably say that I value friendship a lot. I value friendship very much. It's very important to me, and that I choose my friends wisely because I want to treat them and I want them to treat me the way I want to treat them.
I love that. Trust no one. Make them go through the ringer before
yes.
they're your real friends. I'm obsessed with both of you. Can you tell the people where they can follow you and hear what's going on with the both of you? Madeline, tell us where we can follow you.
You can follow me on Instagram. It's at Madeline Jazz. It's just my name.
One Z.
I'm there.
One Z.
Jazz with one Z. And in my bio, you'll see it. Don't call me Maddie.
And Zell, where can people follow you?
Okay. They can follow me on Instagram at Zell Steele.
Okay.
Yes.
Great. Well,
C-E-L-L.
We can't wait to see you both on back on Broadway. Thank you for spending this time with me and telling your story. And I think it's going to be super interesting for people to hear. And keep taking care of each other because you guys are like brother and sister goals. You have the most lovely family. And I'm just so grateful that you were here to do this episode of Little Me Podcast.
I'm grateful for you. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
We love you.
I love you back. Friends at home, remember to subscribe to the Little Me Podcast. Rate and review on Apple Podcasts. And also follow me at Mark Tuminelli and follow the Little Me Podcast at Little Me Podcast. And I'll see you guys all next week. Thanks so much. Bye. Thank you, listeners. This podcast is produced by Alan Seals, Dori Berenstein, and the Broadway Podcast Network and edited by Derek Gunther. For more information on the Little Me Podcast, go to bpn.fm/littleme. And follow me on Instagram at Mark Tuminelli or on Twitter at That Tuminelli. And for more information on workshops, classes, and everything Broadway Workshop, go to broadwayworkshop.com. Thank you for listening.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.